This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Eita, welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week, hashtag Politrix, with Fresh and Botsang Modimoame Moilwa. Botsang.
Morning, Chatonga, how are you?
Okrend.
I'm okay, my brother. I can't complain.
I'm asking for a friend. There's no reason why the DA must take you to court, right?
I'm tired of courts.
Because they're on a winning streak, it seems.
I am very tired of courts. But maybe I must take advantage of their winning streak and look for citizenship in Botswana and Lesotho.
Okay.
And have a triple citizenship.
Is that even allowed to have like a dual, like I understand? But triple, you know?
Oh, if you allow two, why wouldn't you allow three? Because they got a blanket, you know, judgment.
So a triple would look like what? So your mom is from South Africa, your dad is from Botswana, and then you're born in America. Would that entitle you to three citizenships?
If you are born in... You remember we once had a discussion of the red and the blue. The
yes.
Countries that allow you citizenship were in red, by blood.
Yes.
And then, I mean, by blue, it's by birth. Mm. By red, it's by blood.
Yes.
So if you were born, for example, in the US, before Trump...
Mm.
And then your dad is from Botswana and your mother is from Lesotho.
Mm.
What will deny them to have citizenship of those countries according to what the DA wants?
Mm. Okay, so what happened at the Concord regarding dual citizenship?
You know, Tato, for me, this is both administrative, it's legal, and it's also political.
Yeah.
This has been an ongoing case, I think, for approximately 10 years. This was originally what was decided by the Constitutional Court during the course of this past week, was actually not initially a DA case. It was a case of an individual
mm-hmm.
who years back left South Africa,
okay,
went to England, fell in love there, and got married and settled there. And by virtue of getting married to a British national, having have lived in Britain for quite some time and had applied for citizenship, it was granted. But that individual was not aware that the South African legislation does allow dual citizenship, but you must seek permission.
Oh, so I need to say that I'm trying to stembu citizenship.
Yes, or even... Don't just tell the government, because he acquired it by living there.
Sure.
So he didn't consider that he lost his South African citizenship.
So if you acquire citizenship in another country,
mm-hmm.
unless you have alerted South Africa, it's assumed you've renounced it.
You have renounced it. It's not actually assumed. Section 6.1 of the Citizenship Act.
Mm.
And funny enough, this is an act of, you know, 1995.
Sure.
They say it is against the provisions of the Constitution of the country, the Bill of Rights.
Mm.
Section 2 of the Constitution, or the Bill of Rights, that talks about citizenship, says every human being who is born or resides as a citizen of South Africa is entitled to benefits of being a citizenship.
Yes.
Now, Section 6.1 of the Citizenship Act, which belongs to Home Affairs in this instance, says if you are going to acquire citizenship of, well, not say it used to, because until yesterday they've been instructed to repeal it, or until during the week, it says you must seek permission from the Minister of Home Affairs.
Okay.
The Minister of Home Affairs may decline. It also depends on which country it is, what diplomatic or consular relations we have with the country that you are going to, or what are you doing there? What is the reason for you to seek citizenship of that particular country? So it varies from person to person, case to case. Mm-hmm. The Minister of Home Affairs may decline and say, we don't have arrangement for dual citizenship between us as South Africa and country X.
Okay.
We have with country A and B. Now, the Constitutional Court has ruled that actually the High Court has initially ruled that the law is straightforward. The Minister of Home Affairs must have given permission. Then it went to the Supreme Court of Appeal, the SCA. The SCA said the High Court was wrong.
Mm.
Then that's when, after the SCA said that, 10 years back, then the Democratic Alliance joined, you know, the band were gone, to take this matter now to the Concord to change or repeal the Section 6.1 of the Citizenship Act. Now, that's what happened in court because of if you have a birthright of being a citizen, you are a citizen of this country. Tata, for me, why I'm saying it has administrative issues and challenges, it actually paralyzes the powers of the Minister of Home Affairs, which are constitutional. Whether they are right or wrong, that's you know, immaterial for me. My challenge becomes that this decision says people can do as they wish.
Yeah.
If you are removing the powers of the Minister of Home Affairs or that part of the Citizenship Act, it means Botswana can stand up and go to Botswana and say, I trace my paternal roots in Botswana, therefore Botswana grant me citizenship, and it ends there. But why would people want to have dual citizenship? That's the problem I have with politically. Why would you want to be loyal to two or three or more countries? Because remember the benefits of being the citizen, the voting. So somebody sitting in Australia or in England, there are approximately 2 million South Africans who even have an organization, they call it the Democratic Alliance in Diaspora or something like that. And those people, they vote, you know, they create chaos for the government during elections because they elected to leave. You know, when you are an expatriate because of work, diplomacy or something, that's a different case.
But remember, we've had this discussion before.
Yeah.
And I was saying that if you choose to leave your country, as it were, because some of them left. It wasn't like I'm going to
work or seek.
Yeah. Some of them left with a middle finger, even.
Yes.
But they still want to have a say.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, for me, that doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense. Well, again, courts always say their duty is to apply the law. Understand?
So how do we change this law?
Well, look, a lot in our constitution needs to be revisited, especially the human rights element or things. It's problematic that I've always said, like we used criminals the other day.
Yeah.
And as then, criminals have equal rights to us because they are human beings. And yes, the advantage that we have is that lawmakers and the people who drafted and wrote the constitution, they had a vision that it can be amended.
Yeah.
But we as a country failed to do that. Understand? And that's why we're having all these challenges that people can just leave the country as they wish. Then they realize that it is actually not green in Australia or in England or in America. They want to come back home after having, of course, the damage. Another thing is, how do you control people, your citizens, who may be planning or plotting a coup in your country by sitting in another country? And when they realize that to overthrow the government or to even undermine the government, let's forget the coup, to undermine the government. We have seen AfriForum and the DA and others doing it while they are still at home. Imagine somebody who is a citizen of America, like the Trump blue-eyed boy, what do you call him?
Elon
Musk. Imagine that person, he wakes up, he realizes that America is nonsense and he wants to come back home after what we have done. And now with the Concord ruling, he can just say, I'm really, actually, the ruling says people who were, whose citizenship was taken by virtue of Section 6.1 of the Citizenship Act, automatically due to this ruling, they are back as South African citizens.
Yeah.
How does the government manage and control those people? The purpose of having a state and a government is its administration, to administer lives of people. How do we know how many are we? What do we do in censuses? They have children born in those countries. What are we saying about those children? They've got extended families. So it's a whole lot of challenge that we are having. But where is an element of patriotism as well? When do we stop becoming patriots? Why should somebody who lives, who elected to live in England or in Australia or in the US or in the Dutch, why should that person determine who should be the president of this country and the MPs of this country?
I was reading a comment on social media, someone saying that the DA only bought Taba A because it affects mainly the constituents.
Absolutely, I agree with that person.
But that for your average Mutomuntu in the township or anywhere else in the country, this is the only option you have. There is no plan B. There is no, if I'm sick and tired, I can tap out. And that, why should people be given an option to tap out as and when they please? Like, this is some buffet. What do you say to those people?
I fully agree with that person. the DA took this because of the 2 million potential DA voters who are abroad. Then 2 million is a lot, you know, in politics. And not only them, but there's another twist. There's been the talk of Cape Zit or the independent Cape Town, what. There's been a lot of people from Israel, the US, and Europe who have been invited to come and live in the Cape. Obviously, what's going to result is going to result dual citizenship, because if you live for a certain period of time, you have invested, you've got properties and kids, and you get married after 5 years, you will apply for a citizenship. I know the 5 years is no longer a prerequisite in the Immigration Act, but you can apply for citizenship because this rule has been repealed now. Now we are going to sit with the Western Cape or with Cape Town that is being owned by foreigners because they have the money, and because they are white people, not anything else. Because if we can sit and think, if we go and take Nigerians and Somalis and other African people to group themselves, come and settle down somewhere in Johannesburg or anywhere in South Africa, and we want to declare that, you know, imagine waking up and declaring Hillbro another city of Nigeria, you understand? And it's people taking advantage of our judicial system and our laws in their country. I've been saying, Tato, the problem is us. The problem is not the foreigners who want to do as they wish in South Africa. It's us not tightening our laws. And there's nothing wrong in having investors and people coming to our country as tourists and for the economy. But if we have laws in this country that anybody can do as they wish with. You remember the case of the 25 Afghanis who came and they stopped in Beitbridge, and the Helen Suzman Foundation and another, I think it's the Britain Earth Foundation, they took the government to court to allow them into the country. Today, everything is correct. Nobody knows where those 25 Afghans that we all know that they were American agents or spies during the fight with the Taliban. The Americans called them that they were interpreters. You understand? They wouldn't say they were spies. They're in South Africa now. They were given an opportunity to can go and live in America or disappear. They disappeared into the Republic of South Africa. But the DA is doing this only because of white supremacism. There's nothing else. There's no black person that I know who will benefit from this dual citizenship process. That we were born here, we are Africans, and we live in Africa. We never even bothered. I qualified to could have taken up a citizenship of Botswana or Lesotho due to my father's side and my mother's side. But I never bothered. I don't have problems with that. It is again what I will call the Eurocentric process. It's the Europeans or the Westerners wanting to impose their position into South Africa. And unfortunately, our judicial processes and our courts and our laws allow that. It is back to the hands of the MPs.
Because it boggles the mind that you decide to turn your back on SA because now the darkies are in charge. There's too many blacks. But you still want to have a say.
And politically, I think the DA has realized that they've reached a ceiling. And I've said it many times for the last 2 years. The DA has reached a ceiling. It will not go up. It will go down. Down, down, down. And now for them to can keep at that 25%, they have to recruit outside and bring people in. Because you will be a citizen. And wherever you are in the world, our electoral system allows you to vote. Imagine there's 2 million people sitting somewhere determining for us how we should live in this country. And some people see it because they are loyal. They think that makes sense. And there is nothing wrong with dual citizenship if the two countries agree. But let it be dual citizenship because they've been having that benefit, especially the British. There's so many white South Africans, and we must call it like that. I don't want to say South Africans. I want to say white South Africans because it's white South Africans. I don't know of a single black South African who has dual citizenship with the British. They've been carrying their British passports and their South African passports. You must also ask yourself, why was it the British? Why not the Dutch? It was always the British. Why not the Dutch? Because South Africa was colonized twice, first by the Dutch, then by the British. Then they fought, you know, the Anglo-Boer War. And you see how these people use their passports when they travel, for example, to the United States. And they use their British passports because they don't need to pay for the visa because of the agreement between the two countries. You understand? Then when it suits them, they want to travel to Malawi or wherever, or Zimbabwe next door, on the South Africans. And that's the problem we are sitting with. And why...
But why is it a problem?
At Tato, like I explained at the beginning, the administrative part of it. Mm-hmm. When do you track and monitor and control your people, your citizens? This is where issues of espionage and coups and undermining the government comes in. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have control of those people as a country. Not to say people in a democratic, you know, a society, you have to monitor and control the people. But we are going to be sitting with people who are running the government of this country by remote control. Next, the next thing what we will have is, we'll have an MP or a minister sitting in London. They will go to that to say, who said I cannot run an office sitting in London? We'll go to those extents. But look, I said to people, whatever the Democratic Alliance takes to court on behalf of white South Africans, they will win. Yep. Not because our courts are racist. I'll tell you why. Because the laws of this country are one based on the Roman Dutch law. Two, the constitution of this country. People can go and dispute and scream. It was drafted by the Americans together with the British, imposed on a negotiated political settlement pre-1994 or after 1994, because we used the transitional constitution from 94 to 96. So again, the drafters of this constitution were white people. Mm. The Freedom Charter was added there, you know, here and there, because it was a charter of the ANC. The land belongs to all who live in it. Mm. Understand? If you look at what our constitution was intended to, it was intended to protect the minority rights. And who were the minority? Who were the supremacists? Who were the racists? Who were the benefactors of the apartheid? It was white people. Mm. So the constitution was meant to protect them. And where it was amended over the years, or some acts of parliament, like the Citizenship Act and what, are contradicting the constitution, which is pro-white people in South Africa. That's why the DA is on, you know, a rampage to change and reverse anything that impacts on white people.
So the DA and the ANC are in a joint venture.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's a joint venture. As much as it might be sold as anything else, the bottom line is it's a joint venture. Mm. And I don't think it matters who called it. If I call you to say, let us throw a party, the minute we throw the party, it's our party.
Yeah.
It stops being, it was my idea, therefore I get a bigger piece of the cake.
Yeah.
That's how I understand coalition government. Mm. These people are supposed to be running government together. But now they're fighting in the courts.
And it's going to be like that for quite some time. I don't know how do they get into, and you are using a good example by saying it's a relationship. How do they sit in one room and look at each other when the day before they were in court? And what the DA is doing, for me, it's reversing everything that the ANC attempted to do in the last 8 years. Mm. And they are reversing it through the courts, because the ANC implemented some of these things by passing legislations through the majority in parliament. And now they are taking... So what the DA is saying is that what the parliament has been doing in the last 8 years, some of the things are actually illegal.
Helen Zille the other day was in an interview talking about how half of us going to court doesn't need to happen. But because the meetings she's supposed to be having with Mbaks are not happening, or they're not seeing eye to eye, or they're speaking past each other.
Yeah, they're not bearing the results.
So because they are not meeting, they can't discuss some of these things, is what Helen Zille is claiming.
But why are they not meeting?
So she says they're supposed to meet minimum once a month, but either Mbaks is late or he doesn't show up.
Yeah, well, what Zille is doing is actually...
But she says, if the meetings happened, half of these things in the courts wouldn't have to happen in the courts.
Because they don't agree, and they will not agree, Thato, because they come from two different political angles. Mm. I've said before, when we look at politics in South Africa, the ANC has stopped being a leftist party long ago. Mm. The ANC is a center party. It's choking left because of COSATU and SACP, but it's a center party, leaning a little bit to the capitalist policies, and they've pronounced on it. Mm. Now, once Mbalula goes to the constituency, like I've heard it happened sometimes last week, going to the constituency, meaning even their MPs, he will be met with loggerheads with his own constituency, because they don't talk the language of the DA, the ground people of the ANC. They don't talk the language of the DA. Mm. But the Democratic Alliance also I think they thought if they go into meetings, they will twist, you know, the arms or hands of the ANC. And these meetings not happening or them not agreeing in meetings, it frustrates them because they can't use the majority in parliament. And the ANC uses the majority and other small parties. The DA then rushed to court. You see, the ANC is doing the same. When it's hot in the bed or in the boardroom, the ANC will go to the smaller Yana parties, these little breads that they are using in parliament. The DA goes to what? Goes to what they trust as the courts. These ones will vote things into power. These ones will reverse it in court. So you were saying they were supposed to be governing. They were supposed to be running government. They are not. They are playing games, actually. They are playing political games.
Would you say the way this coalition was formulated was not done the way generally coalitions happen? Because often what happens with coalitions is Butsang is left, I am right.
Yes.
Neither one of us get a majority or an overwhelming majority. We agree to meet. But then we have an agreement that says, because you've got left policies, I've got right policies. What's our policy position now together?
To move forward, yeah.
Versus me trying to push mine, you trying to push yours. What's our joint agreement on going forward? Then that way you can focus on going forward versus we're now at loggerheads, pulling left, pulling right.
Look, charter coalitions have been there in the world.
Yeah.
Majority of the Western governments. This past week, the Germans finally elected a chancellor.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And they are totally apart. Canada had elections last week, again, with a very, you know, tiny major win vote. But they will have to look for other partners to be able to run Canada. We have had a pre-arranged GNU under Mandela, and I don't count it as a coalition. It was an arrangement of a negotiated political settlement. I said when this whole thing started, there is no policy position on coalition in South Africa. There's no legally binding document that guides that. There, it is also never tested because this kind of arrangement, this what they call a GNU, it is a coalition. It's not a GNU. A coalition without a policy position, and that's why there are these problems. So there's no guiding document. There's no legal standing of the whole thing. They rushed because they were desperate to inform the government. If you recall what I said.
Also, aren't you under a deadline in terms of now that elections have happened, you must...
Yes, there is.
There needs to be a president.
Yeah, there should be a government within a certain period. Yeah. I think it's 90 days. I may be wrong. I'm subject to be corrected. But remember, I said when they started this thing of them, the constitution makes provision for a minority government.
Sure.
The ANC could have done two things. Form a minority government. People are crying to say, no, but if they form a minority government, legislation was going to delay because you need 51 plus or 50 plus to can vote for. Who said they couldn't do that? It demonstrated now with a VAT thing and the budget that even without a coalition, there were votes in parliament. Who said they couldn't do it? Who said acts of common minds would have not been passed, or legislation would have not been passed by a minority government? They had that option. The second option they had was they could have formed a coalition with political parties, as you said earlier on, with the policies that are like-minded. They wouldn't be sitting with the problem that DA, Fikile Mbalula and Helen Zille are stuck with. You understand? It is easier for me and you to work together because we've got, and we don't agree on with everything in life, but because we've got a common set of minds, where we differ, we can shift it aside. It's not a, but now you come with two political parties. One is talking democratic socialism. Another one is talking capitalism and white supremacy. And you think you will make this thing work. It doesn't. It's not going to work at any day. And that's why we're seeing all these challenges. The DA is going to challenge many rules. Right now, they've got a new application in court to challenge and reverse the BEE. The employment transformation rule.
Employment equity.
Equity, yes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, based on the constitution, they will win that case in court to say the Employment Equity Bill or Act is illegal. It's against the provision of the constitution. Because the constitution talks of humanity, equal, all citizens. You understand? The writers of the constitution, they did not make provision for transformation of those who were left behind during the apartheid era. They never cared. Mm. So those who claimed that Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa and who's the other guy, and Ruth Meyer, all this country, they don't know what they're talking about. They were Photoshop boys. They were, you know, they were models who can model this thing. But it was never intended to improve the lives of African people. And you know what's my challenge with it? Mm. My challenge is it looks like everything that, and I want to say the ANC, I don't want to say liberation movements, because remember, ZAPO was not in government. The PAC always had one seat, and they were always anti the negotiations. The ANC work that they have done with BEE, transformation, you know, the 80-20 on tenders, the black women, what. The GA, the next thing, will take the government to court and say even the gender thing of saying women must consist of a certain percentage, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, understand? So they are now reversing all the earnings of the constitutional democracy in South Africa. They are reversing them through the courts, and you understand? And so all the hard work that was done, that did not actually really improve the lives of the majority of African people. Mm. It was a tiny minority.
Okay, help me here then. Annually, there's a review of the Constitution.
Yes.
Annually.
Yes.
And I think we started hearing mutterings about as early as 15 years ago, people saying the Constitution is not serving your average South African.
Yes.
It must be reviewed.
Yeah.
It must be changed. But annually there's a review, and annually not much changes. Mm. What's the problem?
One, the problem is, I was saying this to Minister Mamolo Kukubai on the site the other day.
Mm.
This thing, it sneaked. Remember, the government must publicize. There must be public comment. Bro, do you think black people who are affected by this constitution, who don't work, who don't have data, do have time to can write submissions?
Mm.
You understand? Again, we must put submissions in. I know that the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, oh no, I don't know whether it's them or is the Constitutional Review Committee of Parliament have issued a statement. When is the closing date? End of May.
Mm.
I don't know when was it issued. I saw it last week. So I assume it's a month. People must do submissions while they are not happy about the question. But it doesn't end there. This is where the problem comes, Tato. Me and you, let's say we are learned. I've done my own submission on what interests me in that. We write. This thing still goes to that committee in parliament. Who are the people sitting in those committees? Some are uneducated. You know, some they don't understand what we will even talk about. Imagine if there's a lawyer who's going to write a submission using legal terms, and then it has an MP who has matric or who has no matric, and he must make a decision on that. That's one problem, that people who are lawmakers, who make these decisions, they may have legal advisors in parliament and all those things. That's one. Two, to amend or to change anything in the constitution, again, this is where the problem is in South Africa. You need a two-third majority. That's what you need.
Yeah.
It's not 50 plus one. Everything else, it's 50 plus one. But once you want to touch the constitution and amend or change it, anything that you want, you need two-thirds majority. Now, with the ANC sitting at 40%, the DA is going to refuse with their 30%. Do you know that when all these political parties, you will need the ANC, Umkhonto West, and EFF, and others to be on one side, or ANC and DA and another to have two-thirds majority.
So why don't they do that?
They don't understand. In my view, they don't understand the power they are sitting with.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it is not in their interest. It is not. You know.
But are the same people's complaining that the constitution is, as they've, to quote, is not pro-poor.
But who's complaining? It's not the MPs. They talk like that when there's an issue, you understand? Like now, a lot of MPs will talk about it because the DA wants to reverse the BEE rule, man.
Yeah.
And the ANC is going to overwhelmingly be upset with this change or reversal of the Citizenship Act, because you know what's going to do? It's going to give DA more numbers. So it's a threat to the African National Congress and other political formations or political parties. Look, I don't think, and I've said it before, I do not think the people in parliament know that they are lawmakers and they don't understand what is lawmaking. Two, I don't think they care. I don't think they care that we can change or implement Section 25 of the Constitution, pardon me, and reclaim the land or repossess the land. I saw people shaking, making noise. Expropriation Act has been implemented. I sat here with you. I said, expropriate what? These buildings that are falling apart, Department of Public Works is going to expropriate these buildings because they belong to the state or they are underused. Botswana has a mukuku somewhere that has not been there or a piece of land the state will expropriate for public use. That's not the expropriation of the land, because if it was expropriation of land, this act would have been sitting with the Department of Land Affairs. And I said, so what I'm saying is, these people, if they cared, even when the ANC had two-thirds majority under President Mbeki, at some stage under President Zuma, they needed the 6%. And the EFF offered them their 10 or 11% to say, let's change the constitution. Use our. What did the ANC do? They refused. Just because it was coming from the EFF, that was seen as an irritant. Now they have a new irritant, which is Umkhonto Wesizwe, that is sitting with approximately, 15%?
I think the bigger irritant is their partner in the GNU.
I don't think. No, this one, it's camouflaged irritation of the DA. The DA is saving its constituency. Right or wrong, the DA exists to preserve white supremacy, business people, and white interest.
Sure.
That's why the DA exists for, and they are doing it very well. They are doing it. They are fighting for their constituency left and right, in parliament, in boardrooms, in courts. They are everywhere, and one has to recognize and congratulate the DA for doing it, even if it's racism, even if it's take us backwards. They are comfortable. That's what they exist for. Understand, and they're doing it very well. But Fresh, let me say to South Africans and our viewers, you cannot expect a man who has written rules and laws for you not to be able to use those rules and laws to control and determine how you are going to live in this country. When this constitution was drafted and adopted, we were excited to be in the union buildings and in parliament. We did not know in 1996, when we voted for the adoption of this constitution, what we were doing. The new national party that time, the Democratic Party or Democratic Alliance that time, and all Freedom Front Plus and all others, they knew what they were doing. They went and they had written constitutions before, racist ones. And that's why it was easy for them to say, guys, here we are, you can vote, we can share toilets, we can go to the same schools, we can carry the same IDs, and you can have the union building with the furniture. You can have it.
We'll keep the banks.
We'll keep the economy and the land. And also what they gave, where they are realizing now that they gave a little bit more power, and the ANC exercised its power in parliament to make new laws or to change the laws, they are reversing that. So the DA is actually an unjust partner in the so-called GNU. If the ANC is very serious, and I agree with ANC MPs who I've heard they read Fikile Mbalula riot to say they can't cope working with DA because they must meet. Remember, they are all MPs. The chief whip and the caucus must meet with the DA caucus to map a way forward. I think they are choking there because they must now agree to things that they don't subscribe to, or they are anti the Freedom Charter or their policies, which are influenced by the communists or supposed to be influenced by the socialist COSATU. But it is not going to happen, Tato. It's not. This constitution, I've made my submission already because I've been writing quite a number of things that I think is wrong with the constitution. The biggest problem with the South African constitution is the Bill of Rights. We all need rights. We have rights. But we have rights up to where? Until where? Where does your rights stop?
And at whose expense?
And at whose expense? Understand? Imagine if we can call our brothers from Zimbabwe, Botswana, and all over Africa and say, once those Europeans come, you must also come. But because we are brainwashed and to some extent Afrophobic, we don't see that as a benefit to us to say, let's invite our African brothers like the DA and white people are inviting. And the people can say, Botswana, you can't be talking race at this age, but it is reality. The South African problems were from infancy, it was race-based, nothing else. The economy, the land, Everything is race-based.
Sure.
Everything. Understand? In this country. So we cannot put a blind eye on the fact that the benefactors of the apartheid system and colonialism are still sitting with the benefit. And even where the ANC is ticking there and trying to put laws that will gradually reverse those apartheid creations. No, no, no. The DA is guarding that with pride and dignity of white supremacy. And that's the challenge. Until our MPs stand up, I'm joking about African people in that parliament.
So this is you saying the annual constitution reviews at this stage are not going to get much done?
No. It
won't happen. Or they're not going to get enough done that can start moving the needle and affecting people's lives?
It won't affect the people's lives now. But I think what's going to happen this year, because there's the new controversies and there's other new parties like Rising Zanzi, because of those, and they are level-headed people, they are schooled and they understand, it may have a paradigm shift. I'm seeing proposals going to government to amend the constitution, but where it's going to be a loggerhead where now the voting comes in. If those MPs can vote as our representatives, not as political parties, and that's where the challenge is. If those 400 MPs can go and vote for the proposed amendments as member of parliament, not from a certain political party, trust me, this country can change in a month. But they will not. They are incapable of doing that. The ANC have very clear rules. Our MPs will vote our way.
Sure.
Or else we are out.
I have a question. And this question is based on what I've been seeing happening across the pond in the U.S. So the Constitutional Court has said what it said about dual citizenship. What happens if the president and the Minister of Home Affairs say, "I rubbish, Tina, we don't agree"?
They'll be arrested.
By whom? No, I'm just seeing the fact that Trump has judges getting arrested is having citizens shipped to jails in other countries.
Yeah.
Is disregarding court rulings.
Yes, yes.
And is still in the White House.
Yeah,
but hi, we can also did it.
Donald Trump is a special person. But remember,
I'm asking, what is the worst that could happen if they said, bullshit, we don't agree?
But the U.S. is not even a constitutional democracy. We are a constitutional democracy.
No, but they have a dual.
The president,
they have a hybrid.
Yes, yes.
Because the hybrid in the U.S. is meant so that there's checks and balances. They're not checking or balancing right now.
Yeah, but do you think Mr. Ramaphosa has the guts to can tell Justice Mulambo in Gauteng, you implement that, I'll lock you up? It doesn't. It don't happen. But also, the courts, again, if they don't implement, the DA will go to the courts and they will threaten that they will pull out of government. Then the government collapses. Then they will go to negotiations and all that. What the ANC or the government can do, they can delay the process. But you see the court order. This is a damning court order.
Sure.
The court order didn't just say it's wrong. You know, normally they will say it's wrong, go and change the law. The order at the end, it's actually instructing the government that those people whose citizenship had lapsed or moved, it's restored.
Including those that had not reported and lapsed, but they did nothing about it.
They did nothing about it, you understand? Automatically, when you acquired one without approval, the rule was saying it automatically lapses your citizenship. Now the court order is very clear. Immediately reinstate. So there's no room to dicky dive. If you are a South African and now you can go to the South African embassy, wherever you are, or consulate, and apply for a South African passport.
And register to vote.
And register to vote. Now you can do that from this week. But I'm saying the government can play an administrative delay tactic role. Like you apply for your passport and they take 3 years to issue it. They can do that, which will be illegal and immoral. Understand? But if you say, no, you applied, we are still processing it, what can they do? Understand? What can they do? But I don't think President Ramaphosa has an appetite to can challenge this.
To be a mini dictator.
No, I don't think he has that.
Yeah, but I think the long and the short of it is the DA will now get the overseas voters that they've been wanting.
Yeah, and they're going to get
the long and the short of it.
Many of them, yeah. That's the absolutely long and the short.
Before we jump into the DRC and the pulling out of the DRC, I've been a KFC fan since 3x2 was just 990. In fact, you know, remember when I was 12 years old, You know that with 20 bucks, you could get a whole barrel.
A bucket, yeah.
A whole
this
barrel.
21 piece.
Yeah, you used to get a barrel. 20 rand. A barrel and a liter of Coke.
Yeah.
And we'd do that with my boys. We were like fat little 11, 12-year-olds. But if it's 20.
What brings KFC here now?
If it's 20, I'm not. Anyway, decades later, KFC is still leading the way, and now it's your turn to win with them. From big stories to real conversations, we keep it authentic, and KFC keeps us satisfied. Now, you could win bottomless buckets of KFC and daily instant prizes. Here's how to enter. Buy any KFC promo bucket, scan the QR code, and follow the simple steps. Buckets start from 149.90. So grab a bucket, scan it, and see if you are a winner. Terms and conditions apply. I think the first thing the boys and girls in green are going to ask for when they get back home is streetwise two. Let's talk about what's happening with the DRC. Because the military have sold it as the mission was a success.
Mm-hmm.
That's the PR around it,
yeah.
that the mission to the DRC was a success. Mm. What are your thoughts on that?
My thing is, look, I think they're basing their success on the fact that, and I've read some people, and I've heard from some military people that I talked to,
yeah.
that actually the South African army inflicted quite a huge number of lives losses, and they are not being reported in the mainstream media.
As in, they also killed.
They also killed a lot, hundreds.
But it was a peacekeeping mission. Why are they killing people?
We spoke about that before. In the military, when you kill people, it's part of the military. It's not whether you are peace or what. That's why they've got live ammunition and bombs. The purpose of a live ammunition is to shoot and kill.
But peacekeeping is. Stop fighting, guys.
Yeah, but when you are under attack, then you defend yourself by fighting
so
back.
If you and Trevor are fighting,
yes,
I'm saying stop fighting.
Yes.
And then while you're trying to reach Trevor there, your mama hits me.
Yes.
I must clap you back.
It clapped me back.
Oh.
And that's what happens.
So that's
or when I suspect that you are taking sides, then I start taking the fire to you. Because peacekeepers, remember that the South African or the SADC group with South Africa, Malawi and others, they were seen as taking sides with the DRC government. Mm. So the M23, so-called rebels, they just started seeing them as part of the enemy they are fighting, which is the DRC government. But I don't know if it's a success. Quite billions of rands were spent over the years on this project. We have had life casualties. In military terms, 14 lives is not a lot. You know, if you have killed 100, then you lose 14. But we have spent a lot of money. And is the intended objective achieved? My answer is no. The intended objective is that when they leave that place, there should have been peace in the DRC. The situation is worse. And they were forced to leave. One, by the M23 rebels, because they were becoming bigger and stronger in the last 2 years. The second part is, you know, last month or a few weeks back, President Tshisekedi and President Trump signed the security minerals deal.
Yeah.
I think that's what pushed them
out. It's more of a minerals deal.
It's a minerals deal. Well, no, but not Tato. I'll tell you why. Tshisekedi wants to stay in power.
Sure.
And that security that America provides to say, they will provide it to the Americans.
Mm.
And that's why they chucked everybody out. They even told Kagame, you remember Trump, second week in power, was saying to Kagame, get out of the DRC or I'll come and push your people out and stop supporting M23 if you are doing it. You understand? And I think it's because the Americans being militant and destroyers, they are in there.
No, hence I'm saying, not for me, I think it's more of a minerals deal because they're going to get more out of it in terms of minerals.
Yes.
And more minerals to make better batteries for his friend Elon.
Yeah.
Then it will be a military deal for the DRC. Because for them, a military operation in the DRC is a small project.
It's very small.
It's a small project.
Yeah. And
versus
also,
the billions of dollars that will come
gonna
out, of
make
minerals,
out of the minerals.
They're going to get out of there.
But also, there's no big threat in the jazz because they are fighting normal armies.
Exactly.
Here and there. So there's no big threat militarily. They will actually squash M23 out.
Yeah.
They've tried to do it in Somalia years back. You know, if you have watched the movie
Black Hawk Down.
Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
That's the only place where the Americans were actually beating.
Yeah, they took your hiding.
Yeah, no, they were seriously beating.
And then I'm sure after that they realized that, oh, that's why Italy struggled on this horn.
On the Horn of Africa, yes. And because they were combatants, they were soldiers on the ground, and those people were also hidden amongst the normal citizens. Mm. They were not wearing camo or what. But I think this deal is what pushed the SADC mission out. The nice thing is that now M23 and the DRC government and Kagame or Rwanda have agreed that South Africans can even take their equipment. Mm. I don't know how much or how many of them, but they're allowing them to take their equipment.
It will be quite a convoy to get them out of there.
And it will take months.
And unfortunately, you can't airlift them out, and then the roads are bad.
Yes, yes. It's some are going to be stolen, some are going to be sold, some are going to pay bribes to keep some of those things. But
this is all unofficially, by the way.
This
is us speculating what's going to happen to the equipment.
It's going to happen, Tato. This is Africa. I'm telling you, they will have to sell some. And also, as I said, the cost of bringing some things home, it does not make administrative and economic sense. Don't sell them to the rebels. Sell them to governments, announce, put it in the public space. You understand? Mm. That's one thing. The second thing is America telling Kagame to move out, because he has been seen as the propeller.
The instigator.
Yes, the instigator. Mm. And this is where the Americans are playing big brother. I'm not comfortable with that. Mm. We know what's going to happen there. Once they've acquired enough minerals or they want more, Tshisekedi will stay in power until his term ends.
Or until they think maybe he's in the way.
Yes.
Then they'll make sure
that he goes. Yeah. So look, let our soldiers come back home with our equipment and let's leave that thing.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm. Let's get out of there and leave. We've got bigger problems at home.
Absolutely. We are running out of time. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we...
Actually, let's finish that DRC thing. I want to come to the Pope thing that we've been postponing. But let's talk about this DRC. The other thing that has happened recently is Kagame now again agreeing with Trump or making a proposal to the U.S. that he will accept those...
Refugees.
It was the UK, now it's the US. And I thought I'm going to ask you, John, why is Kagame doing that? What is in for him?
Well, we become a buddy-buddy. Two, if you're paying me, for argument's sake, I don't know, $10,000 per immigrant per month, that's money into my coffers, because I don't have to spend the $10,000. However, whatever the amount is, I don't have to spend that entire amount on the immigrants.
So what is he going to do with the immigrants?
What was the plan with the British immigrants?
Because
remember, I think that was stopped by, was it the court, one of the courts court in the EU, stopped that.
Yes, because of, they were saying Kagame is involving the DRC, and therefore they may use these immigrants as, you know, a military personnel and all those things. What is he going to do with those people? He's going to put them in a camp to do what every day?
And surely it would be cheaper, because majority of the migrants in the US, majority, are from South America.
Yeah.
Surely it's cheaper to just fly them back home.
Exactly. To Mexico and Brazil and all those countries like Venezuela and all that.
And if indeed they are like bona fide or bona fide or whatever the English says, asylum seekers, why would you want to now dump them somewhere else?
Why? That's the part I don't understand about President Kagame. But this is what I think, your first statement, the buddy-buddy.
Yes.
I think he was feeling the fire is coming from the U.S. And said, let me be at peace with these people. Sure. Let me take these irritating immigrants or whatever, asylum seekers, so that Trump can see that I'm not intending to fight with him. I think it's more of that. Mm. I don't think it's even about money. You understand? I think it's more of, I'm not going to fight with you, America. Remember, also, President Kagame was trained by the Americans. You know, so he knows their thinking, how they operate militarily.
But again, when they arrive in Rwanda, do they go to a refugee camp? Are they allowed to integrate into society the way South Africa allows?
Yes.
How does it work?
I don't know. You know, that's one part. I thought you'd give me an answer. But it really baffles me. Mm. If they're going to be in a camp, it's like a jail, like in South Africa, we have, what do you call it for illegal immigrants?
Lindela.
Like we have Lindela, what do they call them? Detention centers.
Yes.
If that's the case, it's a different ballgame, because America will fund it. You understand? But if they're going to be allowed to be amongst the community, he must be very careful. He will see flames. Trust me, in few years' time, it will happen the way we see the Pakistanis and the Bangladeshis in the townships, and my sister's baby comes with hair that looks like Bangladesh and all that.
So what's wrong with the Rwandan kids named Jorge? Jorge Augusto. What is wrong with that?
It's fine. If you are going to dilute our cultures and you see it's okay with that, we'll sit with a bigger problem in 10 to 15 years' time. I'll be dead that time, most probably. But yeah, so that's the part that I think Kigali is settling down for in order to make peace sure. with Washington. Mm. But quickly on, before they throw us out there, on the Pope thing, you know, I had a lot of thinking.
So the cardinals have gone into conclave already.
Yes.
Right? So this is where we're now going to vote
yes.
for the new Pope.
Yes, the male cardinals. And I have a problem with that.
But are there any female cardinals?
No.
Exactly.
But why?
Are you saying it's a cardinal sin not to have women?
It's a cardinal sin not to have women when the majority of Catholics
yeah.
are women. Mm. The majority. Mm. Why is this in a political platform? You know, it crossed my mind when all these prime ministers and presidents, including Trump.
Because religion is more political than you'll ever think it is. Yeah.
Including Trump went to the funeral of Pope Francis. Pope Francis, with his transformation, but 80% of the current cardinals, 80% were appointed during his reign. Mm. So they are being seen as more transformative, modern, allowing LGBTIs and things like that. And women have become priests, you know, elevated a little bit. But if I was a Catholic, knowing how not only religion, particularly the Roman Catholic Church in the world, it has been having an influence in politics. I can't remember if it was Ronald Reagan or which American president who every time before the election, whether it was Carter or Reagan, one of them had to actually consult with the Pope in the past, our Pope.
Pope John Paul II.
Pope John Paul II.
The only Pope that
we know
we know and remember very, very well.
You know that the, whoever was the American president that time had to consult just before the elections because of the influence the Catholic Church has on world politics. You understand? Outside the Vatican, you know where is the biggest Roman Catholic Church in the world? It's in Brazil. Outside Rome, it's in Brazil. Can you imagine 90% of Brazilians? There are 200 million people in Brazil, plus minus. 90% of them are Catholics. Now, if Pope tells them how to vote,
business a rosary, go Brazil. I'd sell rosaries there.
So people must not undermine the influence of the Catholic Church. And I don't want to say the religion.
Sure.
The Catholic Church.
As an institution. Yeah.
And I said to my friends and family who are Catholics, how do you feel as a lady that you are a Catholic, but you don't have a say? You don't have a say who the next pope should be. It was the first time in the history of that church, again, they have a pope who's not from Europe. Because Francis was from Latin America, sure. I think Argentina or something like that. It was the first time. Let's see if they will have a black African pope at this time. But men, you know, I think it's male chauvinism that the Catholic, which is supposed to be seen as a home ground for moral, you know, generation, for equality and for humanity.
And for love.
Yes, and for love.
Because Mudimu ke lerato.
Mudimu, exactly, you understand? And for that, then you leave women out, and these women, they don't see anything wrong with that. You understand that people are going to elect the Pope for us, but they close the door, we must stay outside, while this old, how many are they? 70, 80 men are going to decide for us. There's nothing democratic. So, there's something genuine in there.
But was religion ever meant to be democratic?
No, not necessarily, but it must be human. So if you close other human beings out... By the way, remember, I don't believe in democracy.
But what if those humans are fine with it?
I have a problem with people being fine with things that are wrong.
But they're wrong for whom? If I am fine with it,
okay,
why are you now going to be a George Bezos for me when I've not asked you to George Bezos this thing for me?
Okay, now if that's how they are thinking.
If half a billion Catholic women are fine with the way the system is, why are we not fine with it?
Okay, Tato, maybe I must leave it there.
I'm curious.
I must engage.
I'm asking for a friend.
I must engage.
And for my mother, Saint Anna.
Yeah.
So my mom was in purple the day the Pope passed away.
Ouch.
With my Saint Anna Amang. You know what I mean? But I don't hear them saying, hopefully a woman will be the next.
No, the other day you're
carrying on with it.
Well, you proposed that we should have our parents on set. I will ask your mom that, Mama, are you okay that...
I know she'll tell you that I lasted one day at Sunday school and then I was told I asked too many questions.
Yeah.
I was very curious.
No, the same with me. You know, at age 12, 13, I asked very serious questions in church. And remember, my father was a senior before he was a pastor.
Mm.
And then I was called to the side to say, man, you can't be asking such questions.
Exactly.
And I realized, no, I'm a misfit here.
Interestingly enough, though, there have been three black popes before.
Historically.
Pope Victor I headed the church in the year 189.
Yeah.
So this is like, what, 2,000 years ago almost. Pope Miltiades in 311, and Pope Gelasius I was pope from the year 492.
That was before Christ.
So there have been black popes before, but also I think it was at a time where maybe racist constructs were not necessarily a thing.
A thing, yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Because I almost feel like racism came with colonialism and realizing that so how do we keep them cobalt down there?
Yeah. No, racism was brought in by colonialism. Actually, the colonialists used race.
Yeah.
That was the very first thing they used. They used race.
I'm curious to know, at what stage did it start being an issue that if you're black, you must be put there?
At a stage, as you say, they realized that black people can't bend. They can't do what bus want.
Mm.
I think it started at that time. Or black people were excelling. Look, I'm not a historian, but I think it is the inferiority complex of white people, especially Europeans, when they realized that these people are living and excelling without us. And they are sitting in...
But why would it be a without us when we were all minding our own business? No. I was there hunting a saber-toothed tiger with a spear. You were there doing the same with a woolly mammoth. So...
It's inferiority complex.
When did my presence become a problem for you?
It's inferiority complex. It's wanting to dominate other people. Mm. It's a human sickness. It's wanting to be superior.
So it's a tribal instinct almost.
It's like you look at the tribal instinct as well. And it's wanting to be above other people by all means necessary.
Mm.
It has, and the easiest thing to use is we don't look alike.
Mm.
You understand? Now, when it comes to tribal in Africa, we don't talk the same language.
Mm.
Understand? So it goes to that. It's wanting to be superior.
I mean, for instance, we're talking about, there was a black pope in the year 189.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese as a society have been around for 5,000 years.
Yes.
So they're minding their own business.
You see, because they are the same.
Yeah.
Try and put and dilute the Chinese with some black faces from Nigeria and South Africa. Things will change. They will not welcome you. When you get to China, you do as the Chinese want, and that way they don't dilute.
Mm.
Understand? The other problem that we are sitting with as Africans is the dilution, the humanity, the ubuntu. We accept.
No,
we accept.
Maybe I just want a child with good hair.
Yeah. depending what is good hair. Well, you can see how. You know, imperialism and colonialism has done to our people that people have started hating their hair. I don't know how many times people are asking me, why don't I cut my hair? What's wrong with my hair? Look at our women today. You know, when I entered the studio, because I entered through the back door, there was a lady in the door who was facing the other direction. I had to ask one of these youngsters, is she black or white or Indian? Because of the hair. When she turned, she's a Motsonga baby. You understand? It shows what mental colonialism has done to us. And I don't want women to attack me to say I'm against weave.
But maybe I just like hair that is lustrous and flows. It doesn't mean I hate myself or I hate my hair.
No, you don't hate yourself. They can do
Mandela did not die for you to decide choices for me or to judge my choices.
Huh? If that's how our youth and people are thinking, then we've got a very long way to go.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. that often we want to concern ourselves with other people's lives and other people's business other people's preferences.
For me, it's not other people's life. When I left your home last weekend, your son's birthday, actually, when we were coming in, my daughter told me that I must prepare for her 10th birthday. Remember, she even spoke to you about it. And then she told me she wants, what do you call this? Barbie doll with a house and a husband.
Oh, Barbie and Ken.
And apparently the husband is black. Because I was saying to her...
No, I think there's a new black Barbie and it's made in the likeness of LA Lakers, LeBron.
Who's LeBron?
LeBron.
The basketball player.
Yes, I think there's Mattel have done a LeBron Barbie male, Barbie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
I stand to be correct.
She was. I didn't tell me the name. She told me, when I said to her, why don't you buy black dolls? And she wants the house with it. Fine, it's 2 years from now, or a year and a half. And she was explaining to me that, no, there's a, what do they call it? A male now who's black. So... she can compromise. Because I said, buy black dolls. Yeah. Said, no, I don't like them.
Yes, Mattel have made a LeBron James Ken Bassader doll.
You see now.
So you see, at least now there's a black doll.
The
only problem with Ken is he's anatomically incorrect.
I don't really know where those people. I just know LeBron, the basketball player.
I remember it was very, very awkward. My parents had bought my sister Barbie and Ken. Because she'd wanted the Malibu mansion and the drop top.
Yeah, apparently.
My sister was like 3 or 4 years old. And then the dolls arrive. So my sister's 3, 4. I'm like, what, 3, 4 years older than her.
Okay.
So she's playing with the dolls. And then I look at the dolls with the clothes off. I'm like, but mama, why do they look the same at the bottom?
So it
was a very, very awkward conversation because for me, I was like, but the anatomically incorrect.
Incorrect. Yeah.
So, guys, I hope you got LeBron right as a black man.
Well,
that's all.
The Barbie is still a blonde lady or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can see what colonialism has done. Mm. It has even factored to our kids, despite our teachings. I'm a Pan-Africanist. Mm. I try to instill it in my kids. I try to speak Setswana Lebo One. I try to make them think black consciousness and Pan-Africanism.
Sure.
But because of this stuff,
the marketing,
my daughter is telling me that in a year and a half time she wants a house, a big mansion with baby doll. The only thing she can compromise, the man can be black because it's existing now. What nonsense is that? Why should I actually have Barbie doll? Why don't I have Memirem Makeba? Why don't I have Memirem Makeba as the doll with beads and my child must appreciate and love that? Because they see people with straightened hair. We don't realize the damage we are causing to the next generation. You understand? We don't realize that. We don't realize that Afro hair, come beautiful with an Afro comb wearing black leather suit, used to be the order of the day with the Black Panther movement and the black consciousness. We are being told that we don't look okay when we look natural. And we believe that. We have bought into that. I don't have to control people's lives. And you correctly say changing your looks does not mean you don't like the way you look. I don't buy that story. You are correct to the people.
So you think
are you changing?
Do you think it's self-loathing?
Yes. Why are you changing?
Because I want to look like that today.
But I'm talking about permanent changes. People go and shape their noses. People go and cut their bums and put some parts on another part of their body. Why? Why are we going through that?
Because
we are actually questioning a God creation. Look, my nose is very big. I've seen people going to shop with their nose and they go through pain. There's black people who have more Botox on their face than Helen Zille and Cher combined. We have a lot of work to do and it must start on that's why the DA is a small party.
Yeah.
It can go over the ANC because of and Biko tried.
Sure.
South Africans are blessed to have had a Biko. You know, Stephen Bantu Biko is known worldwide as the father of black consciousness.
Absolutely.
The influence. The same in politics. I've heard
So are you saying we need to reinstill black consciousness in our children?
Yes, we have to. It let us push and write and pressure that black consciousness must become. Why can't we have Pan-Africanism and black consciousness as subjects at school?
The DA are going to go to court and say, why are you imposing black consciousness on other children who might not be black?
No.
What do you say then?
Well, no. you will register for that subject as an option. Yes, make it available.
Okay.
For African children.
I agree.
Make it 100%. An option. Make it available.
Mm.
You understand? I mean, today, during the course of the week, I can tell you what you know, Dr. Humule Mokai just passed on recently.
Shame, man, yes.
Bra Jerry, the actor, Jerry.
Bra Jerry Mofokeng.
Is it Jerry Mofokeng?
Wamakheta, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know other artists, they've organized the past week an event at the State Theater in honor of Dr. Humule Mokai.
Oh, yes. I think it premiered last week, Friday.
Yes.
Yes.
And you see, when we tell people and our children about Dr. Humule Mokai, South Africans will tell you they've read Chinua Achebe, but they've never read Humule Mokai's books. And it's local, you understand? And this is where the Minister of Education is from, the DA at the moment, basic education. But this is the kind of history, culture, that we must put at school. You know, when Tlaudi Motsoeneng, as hated as he is, introduced the 90% thing on SABC, our children, and it was not that people must play Mbatanga old school. Understand? They can still play Mapiano, they can still play Kwaito, they can still play South African House. Understand? But let it be local. Let it ring in our children's heads. That's what colonialists do.
You know, when Ntate Tlaudi Motsoeneng decided that, okay, guys, we need to play, was it 90%?
90%, yes, South local African music content.
And you know, a lot of mud has been slung. A lot of mud has been thrown at Bra Tlaudi.
Yeah.
But Tlaudi had his heart in the right place.
Yes.
You know, Tlaudi arrived at the top office at the SABC, and the first thing he did was he called a meeting for all of us freelancers.
Yes.
And he said, I don't appreciate the uncertainty of your one-year contracts, so I'm giving all of you guys three-year contracts.
Exactly.
So that you can plan your lives. If you have a bond, you have 3 years that you know you might need to make a plan after 3 years. And initially, it was meant to be 100% local. Mm. And then I think someone in the meeting said to him, can we dial it back and make it 90? And I was working at 5FM at the time.
Okay.
And you need to understand that because of our format, our pool of music is not as large as, say, a metro
yes,
to pick from or any other radio station. But we managed. And you started hearing artists you'd never heard of before.
Yes.
And you started hearing other songs of artists you've heard, but maybe you haven't heard in a while. And I think it was a healthy thing for the industry.
But because of self-hate, we saw that Tlaudi, because he was aligned to some political faction of the ANC and all that, we didn't see those benefits. Our artists benefited, as you said, people who were on temporary contracts, they were on permanent contracts. That is the information. I said to somebody this week, Tlaudi was ahead of us because Trump, this past week, imposed a law or whatever, a decree to say, did you see that?
Or 100% tariffs on any American movies not made in the U.S.
You know who's mostly affected?
Yeah.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Cape Town.
Cape Town. Yeah. Okay, it's South Africa, man.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
The country of Cape Town.
They are shooting. I've seen so many movies being shot in Cape Town and the so-called Kruger Park. You understand? And Trump is imposing tariffs on that. I say, good, Donald Trump. Why? Why should South Africa? And they use who? Local is our people benefit. They get paid. They're playing stunts and all that. It's okay. That's good. But if you bring that movie back at home and you load it on the American TV and China said, what, you must pay tariffs on that. That's how leadership should decide. For the people first, then the rest shall follow. For me, a certain conclusion, you can go and change the laws. You can go and do whatever. You can vote President Ramaphosa another term, whoever, for as long as the African people in South Africa do not own the resources and the land and the minerals and the economy of this country, forget this thing called freedom. Mm. We are sitting with white people. We are seeing them flourishing. We have nothing if we don't have the land. And when we told people about the land, yes, back when Sobukwe explained that the Freedom Charter is wrong, part of the problems in the Constitution is because of the Freedom Charter. The people, which people? Human being, everyone. You know that I don't understand how can thousands of people for 30 years or for Freedom Charter was adopted in 1955, that they didn't realize that everything is wrong with the Freedom Charter. Everything is wrong. Once you start, every human being who lives here, I will also come to South Africa. Because once I am here, the Constitution protects me. Guys, if we are not going to address the land issue, the ownership of the land that is still in over 70% in the hands. What people, the ANC was formed for the return of the land. Did they achieve that? No. What did they achieve? What did the African National Congress achieve from 1912 to 2025? What have they achieved? That freedom of speech, that I can sit here and talk nonsense. Understand?
Without disappearing.
Without disappearing. Mm. That we can do. But because this does not go into the minds of the people, it does not change anything. It does not bring time. Yes, few people are responding to us to say they love the show because they are becoming, you know, the awareness, they understand how government works. It's okay, but it's a tiny minority.
So are you saying that democracy is for nothing? If people don't have land, don't own the banks,
yeah,
and don't even have half ownership of the economy?
Absolutely. This Western,
then all you're doing is okapile the previous regime's beneficiaries.
DJ Fresh,
is that what you're saying?
Look, that's what I'm exactly saying. At the livelihood of people in countries where there is no democracy. Look at the livelihood of those people. Look at China. Look at North Korea. Let's not go far. Look at the Sahel region. Look at what Captain Ibrahim Traore in Burkina Faso has done in 2 years for the people. You understand?
Hashtag hands off Traore. Yeah. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, my brother.
The Fariki.
Why did I know? Now we are getting angry.
No, it's annoying how they're going to try and pull Traore down because he is starting a fire that they can't afford Africa to catch. Because the day Africa wakes up to herself, the day Africa looks in the mirror and say, actually, screw that.
Yeah.
I'm a giant, but I'm afraid to walk because of the ants.
You don't even walk. If Africa can just rise.
Just stand up.
You know, Africa, you know, have you seen that cartoon with Africa as a map under the table and the Westerners are dining there? Sure. Africa must just rise. Mm. The world will respect us.
Sadly, they've tried to kill Traore already and they will one day succeed, unfortunately.
Now, unfortunately, they will. And you know what they do? What we spoke about earlier on. They won't come and shoot. They won't send a person from Europe. It's going to come from inside, the way they did with Sankara, the way they did with Lumumba and many others. It's, again, lack of loving ourselves. That I can betray you. I can sell my soul for money or whatever if somebody says, get rid of Fresh. And that's where the problem is. That's where Pan-Africanism and black consciousness are supposed to help our people. That's why you've got 17, 20, 30 political parties that are black formations, and these people can't sit in one room and make decision to say, but our common enemy, it's white supremacy, it's being landless.
In fact, our common enemy is the plight of our people. If we all operated from our common enemy is the poverty. Of our people,
yes,
the hunger of our people, so much could change. Yeah, if you just like read that, guys, can we? Yes, you want to eat. You can eat there, but please wipe. But can you look after your people?
Feed the people. I mean, I was listening to Panyaza Lusufi. I'm very disappointed, saying that Gauteng is dirty, mayors clean house. I'm like,
Luthuli House is in Joburg. You can see it every day you go to work.
But don't they also visit their families, Kokasi? Don't Panyaza and the president, I mean, he's the premier of Gauteng. He should have at least went to 5 townships, one in Pretoria, one in the east, one in the west, one in the south. You understand? He should have known that townships are becoming slums. There's dirt everywhere. There's no garbage collection. The premier of Gauteng should have known. To go in front of cameras and microphones and say, mayor of Mfuleni, yo, I went to Sharpeville to attend the Sharpeville event. Mfuleni is dead. Hey, Bra Panyaza. When we are in Mfuleni or in the van, we actually don't even drive on the road anymore. It's better to drive on the side because the road is so bad and so dangerous. How can the premier not know? It shows that the politicians are not in touch with people and they're not in touch with reality. And that is the challenge in the country. But you know what? Maybe one day we should do what the SABC is doing. Get a politician from each party and bring them here and we grill them. We tell them what they're doing. We expose them. Because this thing of them standing in front of TV and going to some podcasts and some interviews and then they are being made to cancel their political party and the good they do. Like the mayor of Tshwane that I like, you know, that I hold high from Action SA, decides to go and shut down there. And she even posts on Twitter and on camera that Tswaneya Tima, well, I'm a victim of Tswaneya Tima, it's okay. Tswaneya, then you shut the lights of a hospital, a mental hospital. Mm. I mean, where does that person think? What does the city of Tshwane leadership sit and decide? The Department of Health in Gauteng owes us money, 1 million, whatever the amount. Therefore, due to that hospital, a mental hospital, when there's a constitutional court order that police stations, schools, and hospitals...
Are you saying Bashani?
They are mad. Actually, they must take the Council of Tshwane and put them in that hospital and then transfer those patients somewhere. They are not well. You are not well in your mind if you switch off power at a hospital. First of all, it's a hospital. It's people who are ill or sick or not well, whether it's physically or mentally. And then you switch off power because your sister department, your part of government, has decided not to pay its bills. You understand? That's the kind of leadership we have. You know, if they switch off power there, I see another life SED main.
In fact, as a leader, the minute you switch off your empathy and everything just becomes a statistic, then you have lost your way.
You said it, bruh. Empathy. You said it. You have wrapped it up. How are you becoming a leader without that? You understand? And this is the kind of challenges we are faced with in this country. The kind of leadership we have. They see themselves important under blue lights and in cushioned, comfortable offices. They don't care about this 23, 24 million people who queue every other 3 years to go and vote for them to be in those positions. So if one can actually get to the people and say, stop this nonsense of voting, do it a different way, find a different way. Because this voting, this democracy is not delivering anything to people. It's not. I don't know why do people are so obsessed with democracy. I call it demon crazy. It's madness that you put people there who are supposed to lead you, and they mislead you. They misgovern. They steal. They don't deliver. And you still put them back. You just rotate them. That's madness. It can't be normal.
What's the other option?
I think they must bring back the monarchies. Kings tend to take care of people, except our neighbors.
I was going to say, but...
except our neighbors.
Okay. Listen, what are your thoughts? We'd love to hear your thoughts, your views, your comments. Please comment if you're on YouTube, comment at the bottom there. Otherwise, you can find us on social media at Wow What A Week. We'd love your comments and your opinions on every single thing that we discuss on the show. Where do we find you on social media?
Botsangm@gmail.com and 0824859100 is a telephone with WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And then social media handles is @BotsangM. And I know I don't respond every week. I know I find messages that are 2 weeks old.
But when he does respond,
I will, yes.
You'll see 100 messages at the same time.
I'll make time.
He gets to it.
Yeah.
You're like a bureaucrat. When you decide to work, you work. On days you're not working or busy there playing solitaire. So the system is hanging. The system is slow.
Yeah.
Solitaire.
No, I will, my brother.
Great stuff, man. Coming to you from downtown Johannesburg, we are coming to you from Amped Studios, home to over 80 African podcasts. You could be next. Hit up Amp Studios and see how they can help you make your ideas into a show or a podcast. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Trevor and the crew at Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography. Shout out YBF for all of the behind the scenes videography, film. What are you, my man? Videographer, filmographer, contentographer? Yeah, he's a content guy. Hopefully, he's a content guy. But he will if we give him content.
Yeah, I know. I see that.
Shout out to Kelezo Modisa King, our executive producer. Until next week, thank you for hanging out with us. Have a great week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.